بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. صلى الله عليه وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة. يا ليتنا فيا ليتنا كنا معكم سيدي فنفوز والله فوزا عظيما. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ قال موسى لفتاه لا أبرح حتى أبلغ مجمع البحرين أو أمضي حقبا. فلما بلغا مجمع بينهما نسيا حوتهما فاتخذا سبيله في البحر سربا. فلما جاوزا قال لفتاه آتنا غداءنا لقد لقينا من سفرنا هذا نصبا. قال أرأيت إذ أوينا إلى الصخرة فإني نسيت الحوت وما أنسانيه إلا الشيطان أن أذكره واتخذ سبيله في البحر عجبا. قال ذلك ما كنا نبغي فارتدا على آثارهما قصصا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Inshallah, beginning tonight and over the course of the next few weeks, we will be discussing the story of Musa and Khidr in the Holy Quran. Now, the story of Musa and Khidr, interestingly, we don't find any mention of it in the Bible or even in the New Testament or the Old Testament. When you look at the Holy Quran, the story of Khidr and Musa is only mentioned in one surah of the Quran. And it's mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf, surah number 18 of the Holy Quran. Now, Surah Al-Kahf occupies a very distinct position among the other surahs of the Quran because of its content and because of the way that the surah was revealed. There's a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. Allahumma salli. Where the Holy Prophet, he asks his companions, he says to them, أَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى سُورَةٍ شَيَّعَهَا سَبْعُونَ أَلْفَ مَلَكٍ حِينَ نَزَلَتْ. The Holy Prophet says, do you want me to tell you about a surah that when it was revealed, 70,000 malaika brought down the surah to me? Meaning that it was revealed in a very majestic way. Now, Surah Al-Kahf, when you examine the surah, it is comprised of four main stories. When you look at Surah Al-Kahf, it is replete with stories about ancient civilizations, about certain things that happened in the past that we can draw important lessons from. Story number one that is mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf is the story of Ashab Al-Kahf, the people of the cave, the sleepers of the cave. The second story that is mentioned is a story about two farmers. One of them had a tremendous amount of wealth. The third story that's mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf is the story of Musa and Khidr. And then finally, the story of Dhul-Qarnayn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through these four stories, He highlights the different ways in which Allah tests people. In the story of Ashab al-Kahf, the theme of the story is the trial of faith. What are you willing to give up to preserve your iman? Ashab al-Kahf, they abandoned a life of comfort to live in a cave away from that polytheistic society to safeguard their iman. The trial of faith. In the story of the owners of the gardens, the farmers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights in that story the trial of wealth. What will you do when I give you abundant wealth? Are you going to be thankful and grateful, or are you going to be arrogant? In the story of Musa and Khidr, what is the trial? The trial of knowledge. When I give you knowledge, are you going to remain humble, or are you going to act as though you know it all? And then finally, in the story of Dhul-Qarnayn, the theme of the story is what? The trial of authority. Allah says, when I give you authority, when I give you political power, what are you going to do with that authority? Are you going to rule justly? Now, what I want to focus on with the help of Allah Azza wa Jal is to dissect the story of Musa and Khidr. And the story begins in ayah number 60 of Surah Al-Kahf. So for those of you who want to follow along, you can. Before we begin with the first verse that speaks about the story of Musa and Khidr, I have to contextualize the narrative. Because the story begins, brothers and sisters, there is a lot of noise, phones are going off, children are running around. I need complete silence so we can both benefit from this discussion. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The story begins where? وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهِ لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ. The story begins with Musa already traveling with his servant to reach the junction of the two seas to meet Khidr. But why is Musa even going to meet Khidr? What's the back story? What's the background story? Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, salawatullahi alayhi, Allahumma salli. He contextualizes the story for us. He says, وَإِنَّ مُوسَى لَمَّا كَلَّمَهُ اللَّهُ تَكْلِيمًا. Imam says, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa directly, he had already achieved the status of being worthy of direct divine communication. وَأَنزَلَ عَلَيْهِ التَّوْرَاةِ. And after Allah had revealed the Tawrat to Musa, وَكَتَبَ لَهُ فِي الْأَلْوَاحِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَوْعِظًا وَتَفْصِيلًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah gave Musa the elaborate sharia. So Musa has reached this very high spiritual rank. He is receiving direct revelation from Allah without Jibra'il. Allah speaks directly to him. He has received a scripture. He has received a comprehensive sharia that answers all of the problems of the time. He has the solutions for all of the challenges of the time. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, قَالَ فِي نَفْسِهِ. When he reached that high level, he thought to himself. He didn't say it. قَالَ فِي نَفْسِهِ مَا أَرَى أَنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ خَلْقًا أَعْلَمَ مِنِّي. He thought to himself that I don't think that there is anyone who is superior to me in knowledge. The thought crossed his mind. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, what does he say? فَأَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ جِبْرَائِيلِ. Allah reveals to Jibra'il, يَا جِبْرَائِيلِ أَدْرِكْ عَبْدِي مُوسَىٰ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَهْلَكَ. Oh, Jibra'il, go to Musa before he begins in his own self-destruction. A moment, a thought crosses the mind of Musa that, you know, maybe I've reached a certain level. What happens immediately? Allah used to speak to him directly. Now Allah says, he has been deprived of this ni'mah. Now he has to go through Jibra'il. Now he has to communicate to Allah through the medium of Jibra'il. So for that moment, this was like a minor deprivation of that spiritual rank. Allah says, go to Musa and tell him, inna 'inda multaqa al-bahrain. Tell him to go to the junction of the two seas, and there he will find rajulan 'abidan fattabi'hu wa ta'allam min. You will find a worshipper, a servant of mine. I want you to go and be his student. I want you to go and be his student. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he even wants to teach his prophets, don't ever think that your journey of knowledge comes to an end. Because Musa thought to himself that there's no one on earth that I can learn from. Everybody learns from me. Allah says, no, go. You've been a teacher all your life. Now I want you to be a student. So the verse begins. Now Musa alayhi salam, because he's very concerned about his spiritual development, he's very anxious. And you'll see in the story how anxious Musa is to meet Khidr and the events that transpire. So the ayah begins in ayah number 60. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ. They're traveling. And Musa says to his fata, to his servant, لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا. He says, and when Musa said to his servant, and we'll speak about who this person is who is with Musa, I shall continue on till I reach the junction of the two seas, even if I journey for a long time. So they've already been traveling for a long time, and he's probably saying this because his servant is getting tired, and he says, I'm not going to stop until I reach Khidr. Now, when does this happen? There's a discussion among the ulama. When did this encounter happen with Khidr? It's my humble opinion, brothers and sisters, and Allah knows best. Most likely, before I give you what I believe is the time frame that we're looking at, who is this servant who is with Musa? Imam al-Baqir, salawatullahi alayhi, Allahumma salli alayhi. The Quran doesn't mention his name. Ahlul Bayt, they identify this personality for us. Imam says, Kana wasiyu Musa ibn Imran, Yusha' ibn Nun. The wasi, the successor of Musa, was Joshua, Yusha' ibn Nun. And then the Imam says, وَهُوَا فَتَاهُ الَّذِي ذَكَرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ. Yusha ibn Nun is that servant that is with Musa. So when is this happening? What's the time frame that we're looking at? Most likely, this is at the end of Musa's life after the death of Harun. Harun is always with Musa. In fact, Musa makes a dua that always make him my partner. Musa, Harun dies 3 years before the death of Musa. So this is the final years of Musa's life. And Yusha ibn Nun is with him. Why? Because he has to transfer the prophetic knowledge to his wasi. So the next generation, they have the ilm of Musa. In the same way, Amir al-Mu'mineen is always with Rasulullah, and Rasulullah teaches Ali ibn Abi Talib everything that he needs to guide the Muslims after him. Musa is giving Yusha ibn Nun, he's with him all the way, so he has the necessary knowledge to guide Bani Israel after his demise. Now, what's interesting about the story of Musa and Khidr begins where Musa is the teacher and he has a student. But very soon, Musa is going to assume the role of the student. Now, Look at the language. Look at the thirst that Musa alayhi salam has for knowledge. What does he say? He says, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to continue to travel until I reach the junction of the two seas. حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا. In the Arabic language, the word حُقُب, some linguists, they say it refers to 80 years. 80 years. And some say it's a reference to a very long period of time. Meaning Musa is saying, and this word is even mentioned in Surah An-Naba. What does Allah say? إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ كَانَتْ مَرْصَادًا. Jahannam, it's like a living entity that's lying in wait for the kuffar. لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبًا. For the transgressors, it is a place of rest for them. It's their final destination. لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا. أَحْقَابًا, حُقُب, same word. They're going to be in Jahannam for a very long period of time. Musa is saying, this knowledge is so important to me that I am willing to travel for years and years and years until I meet Khidr. Some of us, we throw in the towel after a few minutes, right? We get frustrated and we give up. Allah wants to teach us that to gain knowledge, you have to struggle. And believe me, one of the worst things that has happened to us is social media and YouTube. Because knowledge is so accessible, we don't value it anymore. Allah Azza wa Jal could have said to Musa, you stay home, I'll send Khidr. I'll have you FaceTime with Khidr. No need to go and travel. Allah says, no. Musa, you go and travel. You have to exert effort. You have to struggle. Because when you struggle and you gain knowledge, you're not going to forget that knowledge. Because you acquired it through effort, through struggle. Now, why is the meeting place the junction of the two seas? Why is it that this is the place where Musa and Khidr meet? There are many places on earth. Why is it that Allah says, O Musa, you're going to meet Khidr at Majma'ul Bahrain? Now when you look at the Qur'an, Allama Tabatabai has a very unique method of tafsir. He does tafsir of the Qur'an using the Qur'an. If he finds a word or a phrase that he doesn't understand, he searches the Qur'an to see, does Allah speak about this topic in another ayah? And he puts the puzzle together. Majma'ul Bahrain, the two seas. Are there other verses in the Qur'an that speak about two seas? Surah Al-Furqan, ayah number 53. Some scholars say the Qur'an is referring to literally two seas. وَهُوَ الَّذِي مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ هَذَا عَذْبٌ فُرَاتٌ. One of the seas is what? The fresh water of the river. وَهَذَا مِلْحٌ أُجَاجٌ. And the other is the salt of the seawater, the salty seawater. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخًا وَحِجْرًا مَحْجُورًا. When salt water and fresh water meet, when rivers and seas collide, in oceanography they say what? In some instances there is a halocline that emerges, that appears, which is, it has the illusion of a barrier. So some scholars say that Allah told him that you have to meet at this place, literally where these two different types of water meet. Now, other ulama, they get into a long discussion, you know, is this the Persian Sea and the Roman Sea? Which sea is it? It doesn't matter. Allah, and thank God we don't know where it is. Believe me, if we knew where it is, people would go for ziyarah and they would be looking for Khidr over there. Allah, this is not a history book. Allah intentionally omits these trivial details because the point of the story is not for you to know where the location is. Allah doesn't want us to get distracted by these trivial details, these peripheral issues. Some of the mystics, when they look at the reason why Musa and Khidr meet at the junction of the two seas, they say, no, the two seas are a metaphor for Musa and Khidr. The two seas, one is salt water, one is fresh water. They're both water, but they're different types of water. They say that Musa and Khidr, they both represent two seas of knowledge that are coming together. They both have knowledge, but their knowledge is different. Musa alayhi salam, the knowledge that he has is knowledge through aql and through scripture. He has what? Exoteric knowledge. Khidr alayhi salam, he also has knowledge, but his knowledge is from what? From Tawrat? From aql? No, his knowledge is directly from Allah. So you see the merging of the two types of divine knowledge. This is the mystical interpretation that is given. So, continuing in ayah number 61. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَجْمَعَ بَيْنِهِمَا نَسِيَا حُوتَهُمَا فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا. Then when they reached the junction of the two seas, they forgot their fish. Hoot means fish. And it made its way into the sea, tunneling and burrowing through it. Now, what you have to understand is Musa and Yusha, his servant, they both know that they have to meet this individual, Khidr, at the junction of the two seas. When I say at the junction of the two seas, is that an exact location or is that a general location? It's a general location. Allah didn't give him latitude and longitude, right? Majma' al-Bahrain. Yes? So, when they get there, they don't realize that they have reached their destination. And what happens is, they forget about their fish. When you're very anxious about something, what happens? You forget to eat, right? You forget. Have you ever been so excited that you realize, you know, I didn't even eat today? Musa and Yusha, they're craving and so thirsty for the knowledge they're going to get from Khidr, they forget about the fish that they have brought with them as their lunch. What is the significance of the fish? Again, Allah doesn't mention details, but why does He mention this detail, a fish? There is something that Musa knows that Yusha doesn't know. Musa knows that when the dead fish comes to life, that means we've reached our destination. You know when you're the GPS, you have reached your destination? This is the sign that we have reached our destination. Why? Because Khidr means what? Literally, it means the green one. One of his miracles is what? When he sits on dead land, what happens? Comes to life. When the dead fish comes to life, that means we are in close proximity to Khidr. Yusha doesn't know this. Yusha just knows we have to get to the junction of the two seas. Musa, he shares knowledge with Yusha at the right time. He doesn't tell him this. Yusha, as we will see in the coming verses, he sees the fish come to life and it jumps into the water. But again, he doesn't know that this is the signal that we've reached our destination. And he doesn't want to bother Musa alayhi salam. He wants to get to the destination. He's following Musa. And probably Musa, because he's so anxious, he's probably going ahead of Yusha. So, they decide to rest when they get to the junction of the two seas. Again, they don't know that they're at the right place. They rest. They've been traveling for a long time. Ayah number 62. فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَا. They continue the journey. They rest and they continue. The Quran says, then when they had passed. So they go beyond their destination. They go too far. قَالَ لِفَتَا. Musa says to his servant, آتِنَا غَدَاءَنَا لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِنْ سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا. Then when they had passed beyond, they went beyond Majma' al-Bahrain, he said to his servant, bring us our meal. We have certainly met with weariness on this journey of ours. He says, I'm hungry. He says, I'm hungry. Look at what Yusha says. Again, up until now, Musa doesn't know about the fish coming to life and jumping. Yusha knows. Qala, in ayah number 63, Qala ara'ayt. Now Yusha is speaking. Qala ara'ayta idh awayna ila as-sakhra. He tells, oh Musa, do you remember when we were resting at the rock? He says, فَإِنِّي نَسِيتُ الْحُوتِ. I forgot to tell you what happened to the fish. وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانِ. صَلُّوا عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلِي مُحَمَّدْ. And indeed, shaytan made me forget. Yusha thought, this is something that's not worth bothering Musa with. But then when he realizes that Musa doesn't have food and is bothered, he says that this is the work of shaytan, because even shaytan himself, don't think he only bombards us. Shaytan does not want this meeting to take place. He wants to delay it because he knows the benefits that are going to happen from this interaction. He says, وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانَ أَنْ أَذْكُرَ وَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ عَجَبًا. He said, did you see, O Musa, when we took refuge at the rock? Indeed, I forgot the fish, and none made me forget to mention it except shaitan. And it made its way into the sea in a wondrous manner. It jumped into the sea. And when it jumped into the sea, the Quran uses the word saraba. It was like a mirage. It went into the sea and it formed like a tunnel, as if it was going into the water and forming a tunnel as it was swimming through. It was something astonishing. When Musa hears this, what does he say in ayah number 64? قَالَ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنَّا نَبْغِي. This is what we were looking for. This was the sign. فَارْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمَا قَصَصًا. He said, Musa said, that is what we were seeking. So they turned back, retracting their steps. Now, as I said, they both knew that the meeting place is at the junction of the two seas. Only Musa knows that when the fish comes to life, that is an indication that we have reached the exact location. Yusha doesn't bother Musa with something that he thinks is trivial. Who cares about food? We're looking for spiritual food. And shaitan, you know, he essentially, as Yusha says, shaitan makes Yusha feel that this is something that's a trivial issue. So he tries to disrupt or delay or create a problem. But look at the work of Allah, because Yusha had pure intentions. Musa had pure intentions. Shaytan tries to delay or prevent this meeting from taking place. But what happens? Shaytan inadvertently does something that actually benefits Musa. You know, sometimes when the enemies of Allah want to attack the believers, they think that they're destroying the believer, but in fact what? It actually works out towards their benefit. Why do I say that? The fish is gone, yes? That means what? Musa and Yusha are what? They're hungry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has designed it in this way because the prerequisite to receive the spiritual knowledge, the special knowledge from Khidr is what? You have to be hungry. You have to be hungry. If Yusha remembered the fish, and Yusha and Musa ate the fish, they would have met Khidr with what? With a full stomach of food. And that would have been a barrier to the ma'rifah that they were seeking. Hunger is a very interesting element in the story. When Musa meets Khidr, he's hungry, right? And as we will see later on, the story will end with Musa being what? Hungry. They ask for food from the villagers. The story begins with ju', with hunger, and it ends with hunger, and this is the story of talabul ilm. When you seek knowledge, you think you can eat lamb shank and go and read and acquire knowledge? No, it becomes a barrier. And I'll share this hadith with you from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. He says, Nurul Hikmatil Jur. Rasulullah says, the light of wisdom is through hunger. Wattaba'ud min Allah ash-shiba'. And distancing yourself away from Allah is through filling your stomach. Wal qurbatu ila Allah hubbul masakin. Attaining proximity to Allah is through loving the poor. Who is the first group that Musa and Khidr help? The poor fishermen. And then Rasulullah, what does he say? La tashba'u. Do not fill your stomachs with food. Do not fill your stomachs with food, because the light of Allah's ma'rifah will be extinguished. So the story begins with struggling to meet Khidr. The story begins with what? Musa saying, I am willing to travel a lifetime to acquire this knowledge. How many of us, you know, people say, you know, Shaykh, I don't come to, sometimes when I see people, they haven't been to the masjid, they avoid me. I'm like, Habibi, where you been? They're like, oh, Shaykh, alhamdulillah, we have live stream, we have YouTube. I tell them, you have to be like Musa. You have to get in your car, you have to waste some gas money, you have to stay in traffic, you have to suffer a little bit, so when you come to the masjid and you listen to a maw'idah, it becomes stamped on your heart. When knowledge becomes too convenient, it will never settle in the heart. Impossible. And Allah teaches us in the story of Musa and Khidr. Musa, you think Musa, the one who split the Red Sea, who has the ability to do supernatural things with the power of Allah, he's traveling on foot, he's hungry, he's tired, so he can meet with Khidr. And Allah makes sure that he is prepared to be a good student by making him hungry. De-emphasizing the needs of the body to focus wholeheartedly on the nourishment of the soul. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to guide us and to bless us and to illuminate our hearts with the teachings of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Inshallah, next week we'll speak about Khidr and we'll continue inshallah with the interactions of Musa and Khidr. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.